Forget dreams of eternal life. All attempts to stay young are merely futile. So said a headline in the Daily Mail earlier this week. I hasten to add at this point that I don't actually read the Daily Mail. I heard about the article on the radio and then I Googled it. So there you go. But the article described the pursuit of eternal life as the holy grail for scientists. Apparently, researchers from the University of Arizona have concluded that there is no way out of death, even with a breakthrough in drugs or treatment. The problem is that as we get older, some cells become sluggish, our bodies slow down, and our organs don't work properly, while other cells speed up and cause cancer. We could slow down the cancer cells and stop them in their tracks, but that would worsen the effect of aging, or we could speed up the other sluggish cells, but that might trigger cancer. So according to the senior researcher, there is logically, theoretically, mathematically, no way out. What a waste of money some scientific research is, eh? I could have told them that. Well, the article was published on the 31st of October, on Halloween, on a day on which we seem in our culture to be increasingly preoccupied with the things of death and the afterlife. The streets were full of zombies on Tuesday night. Of course, that's nothing new, because Halloween has its roots in a pagan festival, which was then adopted by Christians and Christianized, for want of a better word. So on the 31st of October, we have All Hallows Eve, or Halloween. Then on the 1st of November, it's All Saints Day, a day on which we remember the example of Christians who've gone before us, saints and martyrs. And then on the 2nd of November, it's All Souls Day, a day on which we remember those known to us who've died. And then, of course, next weekend, next Sunday, it's Remembrance Sunday, another day on which we'll be remembering those who've lost their lives, this time in wars and conflicts. So actually, we probably have the church to blame for the preoccupation with death and the afterlife at this time of year. I do find it interesting, though, that these Christian festivals happen at a time in our calendar when the days are getting shorter and darker and when nature seems to be dying back. The leaves are falling from the trees. Unlike the headline in the Daily Mail, the Christian message that's woven through these days is quite the opposite. As Christians, we know that death is inevitable. We know that there's no way out, but we have hope because we believe that there is more to life than that which you can see. Or in the words of Paul in his second letter to the Corinthian church, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. One of the readings that's set for All Saints Day is that reading that we heard from Matthew chapter 5, the list of those who are blessed. Another translation from the Latin word for blessed is happy. It's often called the Beatitudes, that list. And Jesus says in verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, because they'll be comforted. I don't know about you, but I have to say I find this quite a difficult passage of the Bible. I find that it's a reading that jars with me, because how can those who mourn be blessed? But perhaps that's the whole point of the message. It's meant to jar when we read it. It's meant to make us sit up and take notice and ask, but how is that possible? Because it's a reminder that Christians live by a different set of values to everyone else. Let me explain what I mean with a bit of a story. My son loves football, and his love for football began at the age of 5. Now, playing football with a 5-year-old, in fact, playing any game with a 5-year-old, actually, can be a rather interesting experience, as he didn't actually seem to understand the rules of the game. So if we were playing football in the garden, he would kick the football at me, I would save it, I would pick the ball up with my hands, and he would go, goal! 1-0 to me, Mum! Whilst I was standing there thinking, I'm sure that's not how this game works. By the end of a match that we'd had, I would calculate that it was 8 goals to me and 3 to him, but he would declare himself to be the winner, put his shirt over his head, and run around the garden with a goal celebration. According to his rules, he was the winner, even if I thought it was the contrary. Anybody ever played a game with a child and found that they seem to always be the winner, whether that's according to the rules or not? In our culture today, we seem to regard certain people as life's winners. Often we look at those who are rich or successful or young or beautiful or talented or popular or healthy. They're the ones we regard as blessed. They have the things that are seemingly desirable. But Jesus preaches a message that's totally contrary to that. He says, blessed are the poor, the grief-stricken, the oppressed, those who literally hunger for God's justice. Blessed are the good people to whom bad things have happened. Blessed are those who suffer for doing right. Blessed are those who are persecuted because they follow Jesus. These are people that would be regarded as life's losers, but Jesus calls them winners. Because Jesus is also playing by a different set of rules, living by a different set of values. But what's he actually saying here? Is Jesus saying that in order to find true happiness, we should give up our pursuit of success and embrace a life of suffering? Or is he saying that those who feel like life's losers should accept that station in life and embrace that suffering because ultimately it will lead to happiness? Well, I don't think he's saying either of those things, actually. I think this is an announcement of good news, a declaration of what Jesus will do and be. It's a promise that the person of Jesus and the presence of Jesus, his physical presence and his presence by his Spirit, will transform people's lives and their experiences. So the idea that lies behind these two readings and the idea at the heart of All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day is that the presence of the resurrected Jesus transforms our experience and our understanding of suffering and of death. Because the resurrected Jesus reminds us that there is a bigger picture. There is a bigger power at work in the world. The resurrected Jesus reminds us that there is a spiritual or supernatural or mystical dimension to life, which operates according to a different set of rules, according to God's rules. Because in the kingdom of God, life's losers become life's winners. In the kingdom of God, there is eternal life. Not just eternal life is not a quantity of life, I often say, but it is a quality of life. It's that quality of life in which those who mourn can truly receive comfort. But it does beg a question for me. What are we supposed to do with that knowledge? Because it's a great idea. And often we can come together, we know that as Christians, we know we're living for something beyond this life. It's a good idea. But when I look in the mirror in the morning, I see that I'm aging. I've noticed my eyelids seem to be sort of dropping over and then sagging down in this direction. I know that one day I will die, and I will have no control over that whatsoever. For me, I think this teaching is a provocation. I use the word promise as well, that it's this promise of Jesus. This is how it works in the kingdom of God. But I think it's a provocation too. It's meant to provoke me to start thinking differently, and then as a consequence of that, to start acting differently. Do I live my life passively and hope that heaven will make up for the bad bits? No, I don't. Of course I don't. But I do try to live by God's values now. I try as hard as I can, and it's incredibly difficult, to resist the messages that life's winners are those who are rich, the successful, the young, the beautiful, the talented, the popular, and the healthy. And I try to live by what Jesus is saying here, because he's saying a true life of blessing is a life in which you pursue justice and peace and purity and generosity and healing. But my goodness, all the time I hear the opposite messages, that what I should be pursuing is my own self-importance and staying as young and healthy as I can, that that's where blessing lies. But Jesus said, that is not true. Last weekend, we were having dinner with some friends from church. I don't think they're here this morning, but we were talking about how hard it is to live an ethical life. We know that we should be pursuing peace and justice, but in practice, that is really very difficult. And then my husband threw a quote from Socrates into the conversation, because that's what he does. I quote the Daily Mail. He quotes Socrates. But the quote he threw in was that the unexamined life is not worth living. And I think what that means is that we have to have some awareness of what we are living for, of what our life is about. We have to have some awareness of who we are living for. And in the light of that, we have to think about how we live. When I'm faced with death, and as someone who takes funerals for a living, I'm quite frequently faced with death. I don't comfort myself with the prospect that scientists are working on anti-aging products. It doesn't make me feel better when I see a family grieving to know that someone is trying to speed up my cells and slow down the onset of aging. I comfort myself with the knowledge that there is more to this life than that which I can see. I look to the unseen and to the eternal, the place where death is transformed through the power of the risen Christ. In those moments where death feels very big and looming and frightening, I have to tell myself, I am part of something so much greater. I don't understand it, but I have a part to play in God's world, and there is a bigger picture, and there is a promise of comfort and healing and restoration and justice and goodness and all of those things that we long for. That's what I hold on to, not anti-aging cream, which is a bunch of nonsense and lies. She refers again to the eyelids that are falling over. Scientists tell us that there's no way out of death. And actually, as Christians, we agree, because we're not stupid. There is no way out of death. But we believe there is a way through death. And All Saints' Day reminds us that we're people who live by a different set of rules. We're not people who grieve as if there is no hope. We believe that there is this promise of life to be received both now and in the future. And where others may look at us and call us losers, God puts his t-shirt over his head, puts out his arms, and runs around the garden shouting, "Goal!" Amen.